Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Sound Health Options Directions for Truth with Richard Talk to Me Guy, and Sherry Edwards is taking a break. One of my favorite guests is Jill Mattson. Jill is a prolific, and really that's with like a capital P and bold-faced and kind of blinking. It really does amaze me. You can giggle over there, I can hear it. Is a prolific artist, musician, and author. She is a four-time author and widely recognized expert and composer in the field of sound healing. She's produced seven CDs, including art for the covers, that combine intricate sound healing techniques with her own original award-winning musical compositions. The CDs consist of intriguing magical tracks using ancient and modern techniques with sound energy and special healing frequencies to achieve profound benefits. Also available on Jill's site are additional free MP3s of her sound healing compositions, including solfeggio tones, star energy, flower frequencies, I love the flower frequencies, Fibonacci, and nature tones. Jill's gallery and music can be seen and heard at jillswingsoflight.com or musicforbeauty.com. Good afternoon, Jill.
I'm so glad to be here. It's always so much fun, Richard.
I try and rein it in, but it's, you know, I can't help it. I get over enthused. It's very exciting. It's always fun to have you on.
My
premise for today, or sort of my theory for today, and you have such an amazing repertoire of information. I'm going on. People have heard you with us before, either myself or Sherry, and if they want to get background on, you know, more about you, they can always go to the jillswingsoflight.com and get lots of information, because as I say, Jill is just stunningly prolific. She's written books, she's written CDs, and when I say written CDs, that means she composes and plays the music, and then she creates the cover art for that music. And then somehow she has time to go out and lecture and actually take time to do this and still, you know, have a good time in the world. That's a lot of wow. So it's always impressive. And today I want to talk about, you know, being in the now or being grounded. And I think this is so germane on so many levels now in this world that's just wow, is I feel this can assist in our personal lives and sense of well-being, which is, I think, first and foremost, we have to take care of ourselves first, and also greatly affecting our client and business relationships and communications. So that's sort of my theorem or premise for the day is, you know, how did the ancients do it? What do you think about it? How can we do it today? And so I think I'd start first with asking if, I guess I have to ask first, A, do you think the theory has potential, or do you agree, or do you disagree, or how do you feel about that?
Well, absolutely. And we have a concept of sound that's so foreign to what they had in ancient times, in very ancient times. So if you were looking at the people, and we're talking about legends here, of, let's say, Atlantis or Lemuria, maybe 50,000 years ago. You're talking about people in these fables and stories that are clairvoyant and telepathic. They're not quite into 3D reality. Maybe I imagine them like, you know, the elves on the Lord of the Rings or something. They're a little ethereal. And they don't need to communicate by using a voice. And since they're clairaudient, they don't need their ears for entertainment, for music either. So our big, benefit from sound, we perceive to be communication and music, and they perceive that as kind of like a thin shell of a way to communicate. And there's far better, far more beautiful music with a broader range of the electromagnetic spectrum. So that leads one to wonder, then what was voice and sound and music for? And the answer is that it was always for a benefit. So like if you're clairvoyant, they would notice that certain sounds, tones, songs, even types of voices might produce lights in somebody's aura, whereas other types of sounds might kind of drain the light. So then they're going to modify their sounds to get that uplifting feeling in their aura, or in other words, of saying certain sounds on a very subtle basis made you feel better, even words, that kind of a sound, and certain sounds don't. And because they had like extrasensory perception, then they would catalog, okay, what sounds do what? So right now, I'm going to pull energy from my root chakra. And at this point in time, I'm very grounded. And I think you can hear it in my voice. I'm not particularly when I use this voice and all I do is imagine I'm pulling energy from my root chakra or sacrum, and I physically become stronger and grounded into the now. And so I'm using my imagination, I'm sending energy into like my root chakra, and I'm making myself strong. There's just an example of how they would use sound for purpose-driven things. And it's just a whole different concept, the way that we use sound. We think of words in terms of what they mean. They would look at the energy of the sound, screw the meaning. Just like, oh, yeah, what does that little made-up sound I just made, what does that do to you? How does that subtly impact you? I don't know, Richard, does that answer your question a little bit? That I think in ancient times, they definitely used sound for rooting and being into the now and grounding and making themselves stronger.
And did they? Now we have a lot of words for that now, and I don't mean that in a derogatory, a negative. I just am thinking about it, and thinking, was it just part of the nature of existing? I mean, I think that you're talking about times when, at least we had, castles or huts or yurts. We weren't, bent over like a monkey, like a pre-organized.
Right.
We actually had some organization of what we were doing. And was that just how people were raised and that they paid attention to how feelings were? And part of that also had to do with their desire to, survive, because something could come out of the woods or, and like, ew, really, not kind of, but I mean, some big hairy thing or a snake or, you were living very in tune with nature. And so was that, were they organically in tune that way?
I'm paying attention to legends here, just so you know my sources. And a lot of the legends coming out of Central America and with the Mayans and a lot of the stuff, really all over the globe, China, Egypt, all these other different places, they talk about a time long past in the Earth when there might have been different, like human races, which our fossil record verifies, and prior to Homo sapiens, we'll put it that way, and that there was just a variety of different human species, some of which, according to the legends, were very, very evolved. And kind of like, I guess I'm thinking to the movie of the elves on the Lord of the Rings, of a race that was just a little bit more in tune with nature. I'm going back to your first question, that when you had a little bit of extrasensory perceptions, you know, they would come up with tonal sets or different sounds like the solfeggio tones, or they would sing the Fibonacci numbers, and the Fibonacci numbers is the numbers that create the spiral found in the galaxy, found in the daisy, found in your body 1,000 times. And then they're just noting this is the voice of Mother Earth. So they would sing these tones, and that would just get them in tune with nature. Talk about being grounded and being feeling, I don't know, when I go in nature, God, I feel so good. But they would sing nature sounds and nature songs. Again, just being more connected, and like you said, more in the now. So
right.
they were doing it with sound, they were doing it with their voice, they were doing it with music, and that's what they were using vibratory, or one of the things they were using vibratory energy for. It's exactly what you suggested.
And when you, now I'm going to jump slightly and ask a chicken or the egg question. I always get lost in the chicken and egg conundrum. However, it has to do with when you talked about that moment just a few minutes ago when you were putting your root into the earth and your voice dropped and, you know, you became more grounded, even though as I talk about it, I can't help it, it sort of happens. You know, and then you did all that and then you had that more correct connection. I'm guessing that you've practiced that. So for you, it's sort of as, you know, you go to that place very easily and readily.
Yes.
And is the actual imagery and energy of you putting the root in that causes the shift in your voice? Or is the shift in your voice cause the rooting to occur? Do you have a sense of that? And does that make sense?
Well, I think it can probably go either way, but energy follows intent. So the easiest way for people listening to do this, and I'm going to give you some different chakra voices, and the idea is not, well, when you tune your chakras, you become healthier body, mind, soul. It's very powerful. But it's also that there's different types of feelings and energies in different chakras. So I'm going to simply imagine where my different chakras are. And right now, I'll give you a couple voices. And then by listening, just listening to the sound of my voice, not the content, you kind of can see how its emotion carries to you, and it has a very strong and subtle influence, and you're not even cognizant of it. So you could use it in personal relationships, work, all that kind of stuff. Okay, here we go. Now, again, I'm thinking of my root chakra. My voice is really slower, very grounded, and purposeful. I find myself most healthy when I use lower registers, or at least I feel healthy and strong. Now, my imagination up to my sacral chakra, the orange one below my navel. And this one has a much more almost seductive kind of feeling. And it just is very inviting. And it's a kind of voice that lets you know you like someone. It's attractive. Okay. Now I'm going to just use my imagination. This is what's causing the voice change now. Is I'm going to imagine my chakra right above my navel, the one that has the energy of confidence. So here we go. As I imagine this yellow light coming from my chakra above my navel, I feel very confident. And I feel like I believe in what I'm talking. So let's say I was using this energy in my voice in advertising a product. You are likely to believe in this product because of the subtle energy of confidence that I am exuding within my voice. Okay, now here's the heart chakra. In this one, you should sense a feeling of love. Let me go. got to change my imagination and thought. Okay. In this voice, I project the energy coming in from my heart chakra, and I feel like I care very much. It's the energy of caring comes in on my voice, and other people can pick it up. And as well, I'm feeling it too, just simply by thinking about the area around my heart. It makes me feel like I want to love everything around me. Okay. Shift gears. Okay, now I'm going to send my thoughts and my feelings to my throat chakra. In this chakra, it feels like I am shooting my voice across the room, like it's a water pistol. It's definitely a voice that a crowd could hear and also would listen to. This is the voice of Anthony Tony Robbins. Okay, now I'm going to focus on my third eye, and this is the voice that kind of triggers my intuitive senses. Okay, let me change my concentration. All right, this is the voice of the Dalai Lama. He's got a very soft and intuitive voice. He's frequently utilizing his intuitive capacities. And his conversations and communications are more than the words. And because he's using these abilities, his voice comes with this energy of the third eye. Okay, now I'm just going to use my concentration, my thought patterns again, my feelings. And I want to think about my crown chakra, the top of my head. And I feel very enlightened. I feel connected to the heavens and to the stars. I feel angelic. I don't feel grounded at all. I feel like I'm floating. It's a very high feeling, and if you notice, I don't have any deep tones in my voice, kind of like I'm floating in the air. So there, Richard, there's an example of how ancient people would just one method, and there's several, but there's one method, that they would just change the energy in their voice, not the content of the words, but change their voice. And they give and communicate and radiate energy that affects people often more powerfully than their words. I don't know. Could you hear it?
I can barely feel my toes. I'm so high. No. That was great. Wow. I'm going to cut that out and use that someplace. That was fabulous. So when you're doing that, yes, I could feel it. In answer to, I have other people in chat saying, yes, yes. We like that, more of that. So when you're doing that, now you've been doing this forever. I mean, you started playing music when you were a child.
Yes.
So you've been, and you played the violin, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it means that you had the full body experience of having that tucked under your chin and vibrating those notes into every cell of your being. So you're very cellularly familiar with notes and tones.
So I must say, my dog, when I was a little child playing violin, would always try to bat my hand off the bow while I wasn't so hot at playing the violin. It took me a while to get good. A long while.
Yeah.
Sorry, and interjection.
That's okay. No, that was good. No, that's true. Animals are really, you know, very observant. I like having animals around for that very reason. They look at you like, really? Really? Does that sound good to you? I don't think so. And so when you do that, like let's say you focus on the heart chakra.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say that, you already have a context in your mind because you've been doing this for a long time and you have that. How would a Luddite such as myself, you know, how do I get to that same place? I mean, I think when I have the feeling that, you know, since you talked about the yellow voices of confidence, that when I speak, there probably isn't that yellow zone because I have that voice of, you know, I have a radio voice. It just, I can't, that's another chicken and the egg. I can't tell if a bunch of the radio people that I listen to and know, we all have the radio voice, and I'm not sure if it's a product of doing radio or we do radio because we have the voice. But it's a thing where people,
yeah,
you know.
Lucky the way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But how do we, you know, how do we train ourselves? Is it as simple, I'll use that again in air quotes, as having like a tuning, you know, not a, a pitch pipe or something so we can get the note and begin to have that in ourselves so that we can feel that note in a particular place? How do we do
that? Well, you can do it actually with body motions, and I could give you one example. But I think
Please.
The simplest way would be to simply – what I was doing there is I was just imagining the chakra area in my body. So like right now I'm thinking about my root chakra. And I did not purposely try to change my voice as it went down in pitch. I changed my focus, what I was paying attention to. So I think any habit is really easy, but it's maybe boring because you need a lot of repeats. So you just... when you want to have that rooted, grounded feeling, you would practice like your root chakra voice and practice your heart voice, practice all the chakras' voice. And if you repeat them enough times, then they're automatic. I mean, it's not for the special. It's for anybody who's willing to give it time. And the ancient people knew how powerful it was. And I could give you another one, if you'd like, another really fun one.
Please.
Okay. This I found in the ancient Hindu and Chinese stuff. And if you recall, like Jesus, an ascended master on earth, did many of his miracles and he triggered them with his command, his voice. So forget the fact that he's very evolved, but I say that his voice had something to do with it, okay? Because his voice, think of it like a generator, power generator. Your sound coming out of your mouth is energy. And remember, Jesus got in that boat, and remember, I don't know if you remember the Bible story where during this terrible storm, Jesus gets up and talks to the wind, and it calms it down, okay? So much like in that last exercise where I thought of the chakra, and I thought of it, and my voice just kind of matched it. And then I started emanating the emotional energy within that chakra in my voice that impacted me and whomever that is in close distance to me. So they would do the exact same exercise, only instead of using chakras, they'd use the elements. And so they would have a water voice, a fire voice, an earth voice. And then they would use it pretty much for their interactions in their relationships. Let's say, somebody was just going off. They were losing their temper, and they were just screaming, and they were just absolutely out of control. Okay, so they're putting all that ucky energy in their voice. That would be like a fire voice. So this is what the masters would do. They would respond in a water voice. It's just so lulling and almost like a lullaby. And you could imagine the ocean waves going up and down. They could even say things like, "You're being really ridiculous. What a butthead. Oh, it's okay now, you know." And they just have this soothing voice, regardless of what they said. Notice I had a few insults in there. Regardless of what they said, that water voice would calm the fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, water puts out fire. And so
right. That's
what they did. Now, if somebody was depressed, let's say somebody was like a wood energy, or the Hindus and the Chinese, I'm going to take an aside here. The Hindus and the Chinese each come up with the elements and do this, but they have different elements. It's not that either one of them are wrong or that the energy is different. Just think of energy in like a pie, and the Hindus just, you know, compare different types of energy, and in their imagination, you know, something compares to wood, whereas the Chinese says, I think I'm going to make that comparison to earth. So the energy is pretty much the same, but sometimes they use a different name. That always used to get me confused. Okay, so anyway, so like, let's say somebody's, let's doing a wood energy, very slow, an energy that can easily get depressed. So if somebody's kind of down in the blue and they're kind of depressed with a monotone, they have this sad, boring, neutral energy, then they would start to use more of a fire or a metal energy. And you can get online and you can see the charts with which elements overcome them, like water overcomes fire. And so then they would see, they would use fire overcomes water. So then they would shoot a fire voice back at that wood. So as the elements kind of conquer one another, which they have in charts, and again, they're all over the internet, they would then take their voice and match it to the elements, and then they would alter the behavior of people around them through their voice just by using the mental comparison of the elements. And if you'd like, I could give you some samples of some of the elemental voices.
Oh, please, yes, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, we did the earth. It's very deep and very slow and full. The metal energy is very fast. It's got a much faster pace. It's much more direct and to the point. Water energy is very nurturing and soothing, very calming. It just feels like everything's going to be okay now. An air voice doesn't have the bottom tones in it. It's all the energy is focused in the top of my head, perhaps even my top root chakra, crown chakra, or something like that. I don't know if that helps you, but again, it's just another like mental exercise of using these things to imagine or think of, and then change your voice. And then use that in your relationships, and it's very powerful.
Well, this seems really, I mean, very powerful in that, you know, again, I mean, in our personal relationships and also in our business relationships or client relationships or all, you know, any relationship, because it feels to me like once you get familiar or even slightly familiar, even if you just get the elements, and I'm not demeaning elements, but, you know, that when you talk to somebody, you walk into an office or you're sitting down or you're trying to date somebody or, you know, I don't know, pick a category, any kind of communication, and you come in and you're slow talking and you have a sort of a pace to, you know, what you were doing and how you were doing it, and then you come in and you meet with somebody who's really talking fast and is a kind of hype, what I would term as, you know, hyper and, you know, really to the point, blah, blah, blah. You know something about that person right out of the gate.
Yes, you do.
I mean, it seems like amazing information to have to both be able to intake other information and also to perhaps how to shift them out of that space. I'll stick with the metal person and how to balance them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, in my book, Secret Sounds, that I primarily do Sherry Edwards' work, the last part of it, I go into these exercises, the ones that we're talking about, that modifying your voice like this. Yeah, and it's just incredible, because think about even in with a partner or something like that. You know, you just like you mentioned, you could have someone who's kind of hyper and nervous, but the partner could have that strong, calming influence that provides the grounding influence for the nervous and hyper one. And you could see that just by talking to your beloved, how you just kind of balance out. And balance, of course, relating to health and happiness.
Yeah. I feel so smooth. I feel so grounded and, you know. But it's really, you know, especially hearing you do the demonstrations, it's so powerful because it just gives such an example of. of like the here it is, here's, and really, as I say, you've been doing this for a really long time, but it's not that complicated in the sense that, would you think or suggest starting with the elements is a good place to kind of like get a grip on? Because it seems, the only reason I say that is because there's fewer, and we have better mm-hmm. relationships to what earth, metal, and water are, in the sense mm-hmm. of, I know what, when you think of earth, we all probably have a visualization of the planet. When we think of water, mm-hmm. we think of running brooks or ocean. When we think of air, we look around, in mm-hmm. the air. And metal, we know what metal is. It's hard, it's tough, it's, wacky on the foot. We have relationships to them.
And I would really advise getting online and looking at the Chinese method for balancing the elements. If you just type that into Google, they have like a star diagram, and on each point of the star is an element, and then they show you which energy feeds the other, which element can make another one bigger and which element can make another one smaller. So then you just quickly recognize, if somebody's going off into anger, you would quickly recognize, oh, I get too much fire, and just start slipping into the water voice. And once you do it a number of times, it's going to be a habit. And then you don't even think about it. You just automatically start blessing the people by simply opening your mouth before you even think of what you're going to say. And I know for me, people can tell me awful things and, really criticize me. But if they have that heart energy in their voice, it's so easy to take. So like if you want to give someone a suggestion, of course, you could just simply put it in that energy that I care about you. You can see how helpful it is to do this.
Yeah,
and also yourself. I mean, think about it, You could be working all day on the computer. I do that. And then at the end of the day, I kind of feel flat and boring. And all I need to do is start to switch, let's say, into my heart voice. And like everything transforms. I transform. And think about it here. Here's another way in the negative, because we do it all the time. We're just not aware. We've just lost this skill of being conscious of the energy within our voice. Let's say I feel, you talk about your voice having confidence. I'm going to have a voice that has no confidence. We're going to go into the negative end. So right now, I don't feel very sure about myself. I kind of wonder if people will like me. Do you like me? I don't feel like I did my best. And no matter what I say in this voice, people are going to think that I didn't do my best because I'm giving them the energy. So you're like, well,
right.
Oh boy, she doesn't try too hard. Well, you may not even be thinking your own thoughts. You might be thinking and picking up the energy, the negative energy, that I sent to you.
Right.
And then I'm going to say, oh, Richard doesn't like me. Well, no, I don't like me. And I sent that to you, and you picked up on it.
Yeah. It's really, you're not an actor, are you? Actress? I mean, not, on stage anyway.
No.
Because the way you shift is really quite, stunning.
Thank you.
I mean, we're all gathered here.
Everyone, not hard.
Right. We're all, I mean, it's an amazing thing to, hear that quick shift that you go from here to there, and you're doing it from either, an element or from a chakra, and it's so, wow. It's, so evident. I think it's a combination of we're hearing it and we're feeling it. I think that's, let me put that, I have a sidebar because I see a question in chat that's going to scroll up so far I won't be able to get back to it. But then I have another question for you. Somebody's asking about how would you describe a whiny voice and what element is that? And why do they talk that way? No, pardon me. That's my own. That's my inside
voice.
So the whiny
voice
and what element?
Kind of sucks to the left. I always feel like somebody's got like they're stirring energy to the left, and it comes a little bit out the nose too. But it's in through the back of my throat, through my nose. I don't know. It stirs to the left. It's like when I'm whining, it's like I want more energy, and I'm trying to suck it out of you. I'm just trying to draw it in a circle, actually. And
yeah.
It goes to the left. I don't know if you can feel that.
I can feel that. That's why I was laughing. Yes. Yeah, that's really good. That's really great.
Yeah. And they're trying to fix themselves by pulling in energy from you, but the problem is the best source of energy isn't you, it's them.
Right, right.
The whiner's answer is within, not complaining
yeah.
without, or sucking you
right.
dry for this drop and that drop when they've got mountains of energy within.
Right.
They just have to realize who they are.
Yeah. And so that means as we're speaking, people are hearing our words, but really it's not about the words, it's about the content, the delivery of those words, A. And B, that means that I'll talk about going into business meetings in the sense that if we go in and we're already, because anytime we go into a meeting and anytime I'm nervous, I've already got a head noise conversation going on. And
mm-hmm.
my query has to do with, if I already have that head noise going on and I'm operating from a position of not feeling confident or feeling shy or feeling withdrawn, that internal head noise, even though there's no outside speaking, I think that I'm probably already walking into the room projecting like, oh, really, I don't deserve this.
You bet.
Am I reading that wrong?
You bet.
Or is that?
No.
Okay.
You bet. You bet. They say with employers hiring that they sometimes will make up their mind within a minute or two. When you walk
yeah.
in the room, it's the first impression.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not me speaking. That's statistics.
Right.
And they don't know what they're doing. They're picking up on your energy. So how you feel about you and how you express you, like even to say your name, many people will put a question mark at the end of the name. My name is Jill. Well, you know, if I want you to hire me, I don't want to put a question mark at the end of my name. I want to say, my name is Jill.
Yeah.
What a different first impression. We're talking about if they're making up a mind in an interview within a minute or two, how you introduce yourself and say your name is very important.
Yeah. I have a follow-up question in chat. I see somebody has something they're really on in chat. I like that. How would you neutralize the whiny voice? What's the counter to the whiny voice, to that left turn?
Let me
voice?
Think. I would suppose then maybe even try to do a right turn. In my mind, I'm going to think of a right turn. I'm just imagining the energy in my voice coming out and going in a big circle in the right. I'm projecting energy, but I'm also stopping that flow of whining. I don't know if that would work. I'm just guessing off the top of my head. It's a really good question. But to me, the whiners, it's like, it's just like they suck in this circle. So maybe like pull out, or maybe I'm going to try it right now. I'm going to imagine you're in front of me. I'm just going to imagine that I'm taking your energy and I'm taking it out to the right. I don't know how my voice is sounding, but I sure got a great imagination of an energy flow in front of me. I don't know. I would play with it with different people, too. And again, part of it is consciousness. It's if you're with somebody who's a chronic whiner, you would use the voice, I'm guessing, I'm just imagining here, that you would change the flow of the energy to neutralize it. And then the bigger thing would be is to get that person to realize that they're more than they think they are, that their problems aren't, you didn't do this, and you didn't do this, and poor me. I mean, that they have everything they want within. I guess it's all about consciousness. And if you were really with that whiner, their problem is that they've made a very small me, and they're blaming it on other people. So they need to quit blaming it on other people and realize they're a bigger being than they think. They've already got everything they want.
Yeah. And that they actually have, I think, whiners, the energy vampires is how I would term it also, oftentimes are out there sucking for energy because they don't get that they really have, as you exactly are saying, or as George in chat says, yes, whiners should go whine within. And to a certain extent that, you know, I love that. Thank you, George. That it's really true in a certain sense that they really have power. They're kind of out there sucking up power or looking for power because they've had a disconnect on having their own power.
Right.
That, as you're saying, it really is, we all have our own power. And if we all had our own power, then we probably wouldn't be whining. Although I could whine from time to time, but it won't, you know, last long.
Hey, a violin is the best whiner there is. You can really whine with whine with
wow,
violin.
Wow, you can really get down with the whining. Yeah, that's true. That's
yes,
so
sir,
true.
I'm good at it.
Wow, yeah. And this way, I have to ask, is there material on your site where people can hear some of this or hear examples of this musically or on your CDs where they can hear, you know, like music that relates to the chakras and to the elements so they can get sort of get that body feel of that music in their body?
Well, I do have Cosmic Streams, which it's a CD in which, since I studied all the ancient mystery schools across the world, you know, again, first I was very confused as they had different methods for tuning their chakras, although they all did it. And I just finally gave up on that and figured there's many ways to roam. So within the CD, I combine like 17 mystery schools' ways of clearing your chakras. And then I put the tones to it, like the root chakra is a particular frequency. It's a color, which is a frequency you can play, take it down octaves. It's a crystal, which has a frequency, and you can play. It's an organ, which has a frequency when it's healthy, and you can play. So it has a Tibetan bowl. It has, you know, there's all these things associated with a healthy chakra. And so as I do this guided meditation, I have all these little tones in the back, like rhythm and harmonic patterns of the chakras. And that is the most powerful chakra CD I've ever come across and gives you a really good feeling for each chakra. I don't have anything on the elements that I could think of. I do describe these using your voice at the end of Sherry's Secret Sounds book. The first part is about Sherry's life and how she did her discoveries. The second part is a little bit more sciencey and relating the voice to geography, energy, music, math, numbers, astrology, da-da-da. And then the third part is using all this stuff. And I start with the applications of Sherry's stuff, for example, the Nana voice. But then I go into other modalities where you just modify your voice, kind of like the two we talked about.
Yeah. Wow. How wonderful that we can, you know, I mean, this has such a good, and I guess that's why I've been really possessed about this lately in a good way. Just that it seems, you know, like such a great connection to be grounded or to, I'm calling be in the now, because I find that the process of working with other people, that if I can get them to just take a moment and be in the now with me while we're working, that it's just so much easier all around because we're not distracted with the other 900 things going on in our mind about where I should be and how late I am and where I have to be and where I'm going and where I've been and all this. We'll just be here now. And it makes for me, you know, a much better, you know, interview, because when I'm getting ready for a show, I'm a little like, you know, pre-show, running in my own circles, dog on a tile floor, because there's always something that needs to be fixed or figured out, or oh, this didn't load, or something didn't happen. And as soon as I hear that music, I'm, you know, in the moment, because I need to be in the moment, and then we go. And I find it much more effective for me in my communication, in interviewing others and helping, you know, others, you know, talk with me. It just, there's enough going on already. We don't need to be dragging in where we were, where we could be, where we should be, where we might have been, who we were, we're not with, and why we should or shouldn't have been and all that, but just like, oh, I'm here now talking to you. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that not only affects our communications,
yes.
And I really do feel that, go ahead.
I was just saying that the ancient people, at least my understanding would be that, again, they were very tuning to heaven and to earth. So it was extremely important throughout the day to be connected to earth, to hear her. I mean, the plants and the trees, they make vibrations, they make little sounds, they communicate. Science is now being able to prove that. And I know, like, when I get near nature, I can definitely feel what a tree is feeling now because I've increased my sensitivities. But the point being is that ancient people had a very, very enlarged sensitivity and sense of earth and nature. And that's what I'm doing in my Paint Your Soul CD, is I'm putting those type of frequencies in the music. And then they would also tune to the heavens and the stars, like maybe something as simple as imagining energy going from your heart down through your feet into the ground, into the bedrock, to the center of the earth. And then just imagine it coming up into the bottom of your feet, running through your body and up through the top of your head, you know, above earth. You can see earth below you and see the universe. And then just keep coming up and down like you're flossing your body. And again, my Stardust CD, I'm tying into all that star energy. And they would listen to the sounds and the music. That's what they were doing. Music was purpose-driven. So, you know, they would have star music. Like, that's why, again, I did the Stardust CD, is they would adjust the energy of the heaven and they would adjust the energy of the earth to not only stay in the now, but somehow connected, like, to other dimensions, to higher energy, to intuitive faculties within.
And they did this all, it wasn't like they were sitting in classrooms learning this. This was just part of their life.
Right.
That's a question. Sorry, I meant to put that in a question, the part of a question.
And they would listen to the like their music, if you know, when they would listen to music, it was always tuned to like the Fibonacci spiral. Our music, of course, is not. So anything they're listening to, they don't need music because they can listen to it clairaudiently. They don't need to hear communication words. They can do telepathy. It's purpose-driven. You know, think of a jackhammer. Think of a toolbox with hammers and nails. I mean, the energy of sound, that range of vibrations, they used for purposes, for benefits. And, you know, like you were, and then tying back into your idea of being in the now, I think one of the ways that they were trying to be in the now, to be all they can be, to open up their consciousness, was this idea of tuning into heaven and earth. And the idea I just gave you with body flossing, of running your energy, you know, to the earth, through your feet, up to the heavens, and just kind of, because energy follows your imagination again. So that exercise, listening to Paint Your Soul and Stardust in the background, those CDs, it's the same thing. It's just ingesting that centeredness, the frequencies or the patterns that they associated with that. I don't know if that helps.
No, that helps. And it leads me to think that they wouldn't have said it this way, but I mean, they really thought of music as food.
Absolutely.
As a nutritive. They had a much different relationship to music.
Absolutely.
In the sense that, you know, they really did. It was a nutritive. It just wasn't like, we're just not, you know, dancing around the fire here.
You bet. And hence, doesn't Sherry's work now have greater meaning?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she's bringing it back. Because that's exactly what she's doing. She's simply, you know, but they would just be intuitive. They wouldn't, you know, have the software.
Boy, wouldn't that be a trip to go back in time with the software? Wow, that'd be cool.
Yes.
Excuse me. Excuse me while I confirm what you already know with all this technology. That's amazing.
Yes.
And how can, back to, so listening to your CDs, reading that section, I have to pull out my old copy of Secret Sounds and read that last section about using them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love all these parts, because ultimately it does come down to you've done a wonderful job of, you know, giving me information and confirming for me what I was theorizing, that this really does help not only our communications, but it really is also, I feel, I extrapolate out, beneficial to our own immune systems. And once
mm-hmm.
we get stronger and healthier ourselves and in relationship to grounding and Sky Story and everything, that really
mm-hmm.
we're helping ourselves and then helping each other and then helping the planet and then helping the cosmos and then helping, you know, the
mm-hmm.
ginormous story
each,
of it all.
Each person with some tune produces like harmony. And just think of like the world's just a big wave pool and we're all a drop. And so, you know, our little drop goes in there and it matters, you know, whether we're angry, upset, or feeling heavenly or peaceful. And one of the things, I guess, I think it's in my Ancient Sounds book, I have this picture of showing the exponential energy of sound. For example, let's say when they're in music, bum, bum, you have the same note, it's an octave, it's just higher or lower. And if you look at the cycles per second, to get an octave, you just double the cycles per second. So one cycle per second is C, two cycles per second, which is double, okay, is C. But, so that's in the lower ranges. But now let's say you're at a C that's now at 2,000 cycles per second. You go up one more octave, you're now at 4,000 cycles per second. The difference between the higher octave was 2,000 cycles per second. The difference between the lower octave was one cycle. So using that kind of analogy, that's just a way of saying that as you start to raise your energy, meaning feel more harmony and peace and love in your daily life, you start to raise your energy. And then when you go up yet another octave, yeah, it's only an octave, but if it's like 2,000 cycles per second, wow. And then when your little drop adds into that wave pool of the earth or all of us, it makes a huge difference, meaning that some of our gifts, perhaps our greatest gift that we have to give anybody, is simply who we are. We just can't see how powerful it is. That's all. But we need to know, you know, that we're the answer.
It's really... yeah, it is mine, you know, it boggles my mind when I think about that. You know, there's a lot of conversation these days about the quantum field and coherence and all sorts of things. And it really does, yes, and it really does come back to just exactly as you say of Sherry's work, like the Guardians Network, where really it starts out by each one of us taking care of ourselves. And as each one of us is stronger and more grounded and, you know, other words, healthier, that everything else joins hands energetically into that field.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps the strongest tool we have is our voice. And there it is, hidden right in front of our noses.
Almost. Right out there
uh-huh.
in our nose. Just about, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's an amazing concept, because we hear a lot of words and we talk a lot, and there's a lot of, you know, noise and chatter and, you know, all sorts of, especially with the internet, there's a lot of, you know, noise and things happening out there, but it's underrated, you know,
yeah,
that
and,
people don't get. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, I had one more technique. I don't know. How much are we good for time? Do I have time to tell one more
technique?
Oh, no.
Even if we go a couple minutes over now, please, another technique, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, I have a half hour of free music at jillswingsoflight.com. So please go and help yourself. It's on the home page. And also I have a newsletter that comes out once every 2 weeks with little snippets like some of the things we've been doing today on healing the sound. And then here's the other one. The other one is intuitively, I think we've lost our ability to trust and some of our intuition. And sometimes to not worry about the outcome, but to just kind of trust in a thing to do that is probably unknowingly a blessing, is just humming. Particularly if you're, you know, no one's around and you're in the shower or by yourself or in the car. Why not just let your voice go and just hum little notes and little sounds. And your body is far more intelligent. You know, they're finding that there's intelligence, holographic intelligence in every cell of your body. So when you just kind of hum and just kind of and just be free and let the sound come out of your mouth without any purpose, I believe that the sounds coming out of your mouth are going to be very good for you. You're just not going to be conscious of it. I would think that to be very powerful.
So you mean that the sounds that as we're humming and, you know, doodling around in a non-tune, as I would call it, that we're actually producing tones unconsciously, or our cells are squirting out tones unconsciously that are having a benefit to ourselves,
yes.
Almost in a homeopathic, yes. What I would call a homeopathic way?
Yes, I believe so. And the reason why I believe that is let's say I need the key. I can do Sherry's Nana voice, and you can see within my body that I'm low on the frequency of D. And then you were to play two symphonies for me, same symphony. One's in the key of G, one's in the key of D. I will guarantee you I'm going to like that one in the key of D better. And if I'm really into my left brain, I'll give you some eloquent pile of BS about why the one in D is better. When in truth, my body wants the D. It's like releases endorphins when you hear a sound that's good for you. Your body has a way of saying, And so your body is unconsciously directing us all the time. So if our body knows what it wants, the little sounds that it wants that are, you know, the old acoustic emissions that Sherry can hear that come out of your ear, if our body is aware of all those little frequency needs and we just truly give our consciousness over and not worry about any outcomes and let ourselves just voice whatever we feel like, I can't imagine that our consciousness on some conscious, subconscious level is going to get involved there. Go, oh, goody. You know, and you're just going to start to come out with tones that you need, like nutrition that you need.
Wow. I like that. I like the idea of, you know, just that it's really so, I mean, what I love about your approach is that you present amazing information and that, you know, what you've talked about, it sounds simple. And it's because in a certain way, it is pretty simple. Once you get a sort of a grip on it or, you know, it's not that difficult. Like the idea of just humming in the car. If we do nothing else after this, then hum to ourselves for 5 minutes, it might be like, wow, I can't believe that. That's wonderful.
You just have to give yourself freedom and not judge. Just allow.
Yeah. This is a great, somebody just put this in chat, and I won't call it evil, but it's certainly, you know, far thinking. They're saying that, wow, if you were on American Idol as a singer, run the judge's voice through Nano Voice to see what they need, then sing your performance in those notes.
Yes.
Quick, patent
that.
That's a great idea. That's a brilliant idea.
Absolutely.
Wow. Oh, and then he disappeared immediately. As soon as I said that, he was off and running. He logged out instantly. But that's really true. I mean, if we
exactly right.
That's a whole.
Or if you're going, if you could call, get you're going for a job interview. If you could get that person on the voice, do the Nana voice on them, and see what is the frequency of that person that's going to be interviewing me, and then get a little music pitch pipe and pitch your music, pitch your voice to that tone.
It gives me meaning. I wonder if I actually have to look back at the phrase of, like, you know, to pitch, because you talk about that in boardrooms where you're pitching an idea. And I wonder if there is. No, I really do wonder if there's any history or lore to the idea of the pitch.
That's an excellent point. Excellent point. Yeah, maybe there are people who are just trying to find the right pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're always learning. I mean, I've heard people in, you know, boardrooms, not that I've spent a whole lot of time in boardrooms, but, you know, use that term, looking for the right pitch. And I wonder if there is history to that of, oh, really? No, they really mean that. They just don't know that we've lost that, that we're really looking for the right pitch. We're not kidding. So that is wonderful.
How cool.
That's very cool. So I'm shocked to find that we're at the end of our hour, really.
Aww.
Yeah, exactly. It was, you know, wonderfully fun, as always. And how do people get a hold of you? Do you teach teleclasses or telething?
Yes, I do.
Yet?
Teach them in the winter. I used to do quite a series of online workshops. But if you go to my website, Jill's Wings of Light, and you download the free Sound Healing MP3s, you get my newsletter, which comes out every 2 weeks. It's just a little thing on healing with sound. And I'll post on my newsletter my schedule in the fall, winter, and spring. So if anybody's interested in taking a workshop, it's there.
Absolutely. I love that idea. Because it's also, you know, it's very approachable when talking to you. It's all in the voice. It's amazing. It's all in the voice, man. It's, you know, you make it very approachable and, you know, understandable. As I say, you know, the idea of getting in touch with the elements and using that to just assist people in altering their state of being and, you know, balance things out. I think that's just so incredibly powerful.
And remember, when the ascended masters talk about balance, they're talking about enlightenment and happiness. I mean, they're talking about balance like being the end all. The balance does everything. Balance is not a small thing. Balance is your ticket to enlightenment.
Yeah, we're seeking balance,
yes.
and we're seeking a good pitch and the balance.
Yeah.
It's absolutely perfect.
Yes.
Wonderful. Wonderful, Jill. You know,
oh, and
a wonderful
they can
dance
get a hold
always.
Of me at Jill's Wings
oh,
of
sorry.
Light. And thank you so much, Richard. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jill. That was very fun. I knew it was going to be fun, but, you know, always surprisingly, wonderfully fun. And Chad is going nuts with the, you know, wonderful tang. Thanks, everybody. Oh, Susan's saying, fantastic show. If we had an applause button, I'd be pressing it. I'll have to put some applause in the audio clips here. That would be fabulous. Or at least a ta-da. Thank you again, Jill. Thanks, everybody. That was a great show. Thanks for all the questions. And I'll see you guys on Sunday for the, what is Sunday? Sunday's Blog Talk Radio. And I'm not sure who we're talking to yet. But we'll see you again soon on Sunday. And Jill, just thank you so much. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you. All right,
bye-bye. All right, bye.